I'm just going to try to provoke you. I've got this word provoke written down right at the top of my sheet of paper. Provoke you to think. Provoke you to consider. Let God challenge you. What does Jesus think about money, wealth and possessions? Money, time and things. It's my view that there is an absolutely fundamental connection between our spirituality and what we do with our money. So that's the premise that I'm starting from. Three really simple little stories, okay? All from scripture. I did pretty well finding three. Let's have a look. For those of you who have Bibles with you, see, I can say that as the preacher. I unfortunately never take a Bible to church. And I'm really spoiled because in the Marlow congregation, we have somebody who's done all this technical wizardry. And as soon as you start speaking from the Word of God, up it comes on the screen as if by magic. And guess what? He can even work out which translation you're doing it from. That's pretty neat, that is. So Luke chapter 3, verses 8 to 14. So, here's your picture. John the Baptist, he's out in the desert. He's got all these crowds of people. And they're all getting baptized. And they're all repenting of their sins. And John says to them this. Prove by the way that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, we're safe because we're Jews. That means absolutely nothing. I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from the very stones. A little bit further on. And the crowd said, so what should we do? And John replied to them, if you have two shirts, give one away. If you have food, share it with somebody who's hungry. The tax collectors came to him. They were baptized. They went through this radical transformation. And they said, teacher, what should we do? He said, don't collect any more tax than is due or than the government requires. And then some soldiers were there and they got baptized and they said, okay, so what should we do? And John said to them, don't extort money out of people. Don't make false accusations and be content with how much you're paid. Let me precede that for you. The fruits of repentance are that you share your clothes with other people, you give food to the poor, you don't pocket extra money, and you're content with what you've got. The fruits of repentance. Let's move on. Luke chapter 19. So, there's something, one of the famous stories of Jesus and Zacchaeus. So we all know the story. Little man up a tree, has Jesus back for dinner. Something goes on while Jesus is at his home. I was trying to think about this morning. This one hit me. I was going to go, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Okay, I apologize if there are any HMRC tax collectors in the room. Most of us struggle with that as a profession of somebody else. You know, it's one of those not really sure, don't really like them, they take our money off us type of. And I was trying to think how this might work in modern day parlance. And so obviously if you look at what's been going on in the press recently, fat cat CEOs might be a Zacchaeus. Investment bankers might be a Zacchaeus. And as I am a banker, you can, if you want to. But that's the sort of thing that's going on here. That he was hated by the people around him as much as maybe those are that I've just explained. So Jesus is in Zacchaeus' house. They're having a meal together. And somewhere in that process, Zacchaeus has got utterly changed on the inside. Something has broken in. And so Zacchaeus stands before the Lord and he says, I'm going to give half of my wealth to the poor. And if I've cheated people on their taxes, then I will give them back four times as much as I cheated them. And Jesus said, surely salvation has come to this house today, for this man was shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. So let me pray, see that one for you. Half of your possessions to the poor and four times payback for those you've taken money from equals salvation. But I hear you say, money is this temporal, earthly thing. And surely you should be standing up front talking about spiritual things. But you've got two really clear passages there that are equating things that are financial with things that are spiritual. And it's not just anything... let me put it around the other way. It is about repentance. It is about salvation. And so there is this connection going on between how we see those things, how we deal with money, wealth, possession, time, etc., and our spiritual lives. That really nice little other story that we like to quote sometimes about the widow's mite. Jesus watches all these people putting money into the temple coffers. I happen to think he was standing there on purpose doing it, watching what people put in, because he wanted to bring out the lesson. This little old lady turns up, and she puts in these couple of little copper coins that in today's money would be worth less than a penny. But it's everything. It's all she has, and she's given it to God. Jesus made no comment about the corruption of the Levites or what was going on in the temple. He made no comment about how unsensible this lady really was in giving everything away. Surely she should have kept some because she needed to feed herself tomorrow. All he did was give her an unqualified commendation. So we see just from those three tiny little passages that there's something a little bit radical that's going on here about the way Jesus talks about our money, wealth, time, possessions and things. And in fact, 15% of everything Jesus says in Scripture has to do with money, wealth and possessions. Did you know, here's an interesting fact for you, that is more than twice the amount of things he had to say about both prayer and faith combined? Must be fairly important. Now, here's an interesting one. Money is really emotional. I will guarantee you that there'll be some people here that as soon as somebody stood up and said, we're talking about money today, it'd have either gone, oh no, not again. All I ever hear is... Or it might have generated anxiety. It might have generated fear. It's almost as if money is an emotion. Because it does the weirdest things to us. But hold on, it's a piece of paper where some bloke at the Bank of England has signed his name saying, I promise to pay the bearer £20. That's all it is. It's a medium of exchange. But we have imbued it with this power that generates all of this emotional response inside us. Did you know that money is really high on the relational arguments, causes a breakup of marriages? It's one of the top three things, because we're always arguing about money. So what's going on? Forget the fact that it's pounds and pence. What's going on in here that is pressing all of those buttons about that are connected with money? I've had exactly that situation this week with trying to do actually some of this in delivering to you today. It's just ended up, as I've been talking to people, it's pressed people's buttons. It's got nothing to do with money. It's got nothing to do with what I'm going to say. It's just ended up pressing people's buttons. Money is actually this neutral thing. It is, as I said, a medium of exchange. But we place a value on it. And that value is highly emotional. The responses we have are often conscious. Often they're unconscious. And they're just like, well, that's just part of me. That's just how I'm made up. Like I said, when I got up and started talking about money, what was your immediate reaction? Because actually that tells you something about what's going on inside. Let me give you something personal here. I've got two boys, as I said at the beginning. I've got one natural spender, and I've got one natural saver. Right, but immediately, that creates a reaction in you. Okay, now let me tell you my family script. My family script is, don't spend money. This is what I imbibed from my parents. You don't spend money. There might never be enough, so you've got to be really, really careful with it. And you mend and make do. Now, I'm one of four. I've got three sisters. I was the lucky one because I was the only boy. I always got new stuff bought for me. It created massive, massive tensions in my family because my eldest sister got stuff bought for her, and then it was all hand-me-downs from there on. And that created a lot of tension. Something as simple as that. But that is my family script. So I now have a natural spender and a natural saver. So what do you think? How do you think I'm going to react to my natural spender and to my natural saver? And that is really unconscious because I imbibed that from my parents. Nobody taught it to me, but it would be really, really easy for me to then be able to say to my natural saver, well done. And to my natural spender, whom it seems like sand in the hand. But can you see how that, it generates that in, automatically in you? But we're just talking about money. Now, natural spender, natural saver, both of those can be fear responses. They don't have to be, but they can be. So the natural spender is, I better get rid of it because it might not be here tomorrow. It might all disappear. The natural saver is, I've got to look after myself, so I need to salt some money away. And my natural saver actually puts money under his bed. But do you see how those things, they can so easily be, they're emotion generated. And so we have to, somewhere we've got to be able to find a way of being able to get beyond that immediate reaction. And going, okay, what is Jesus really trying to say to me here? What is this generous journey I'm supposed to go on? How is it that I can do something that is so emotive over here, and yet Jesus can actually talk to me about it, and it can actually be something that promotes my faith, that is a real integral part of my walk with Jesus? Let me just give you a couple of ideas here. I read a really nice piece that said there are three or four different types of people when it comes to money. So see if you can find yourself either specifically in one of these or in a mixture of them. You've got your miser, who is just absolutely petrified that there will never be enough. And so that generates a certain set of actions. The spender, who feels good when it's going out of his hand. The tycoon, for whom money is power and gives you the ability to control. And that is a huge one for anyone here who has kids. It really is. Tell you what they're going to wear. No, you can't buy that. Well, I want it. I'm paying for it. The bargain hunter, who can only ever feel good if they bought something really cheap. Oh, somebody just laughed. And when it doesn't happen, they get really angry if they can't find a bargain. Well, what's that saying? Or the gamblers, for whom it's all about taking a risk. And actually, that's the most important thing. Did you know, I won't do it now because I know we're on fairly limited time. If I got you to shout out ideas about how I react to money, so what things go on inside you, the vast majority of those will be negative emotions. Why? But it's a really interesting question. Ask yourself why. It's a really, really interesting one. Here's a good one. Money is a litmus test for our character. Think about that one for a moment. Yeah? I can back it up with scripture if you want me to. Here you go. Where did I write it? Matthew 6:21. Where my heart is, yeah. My heart goes where I put, and here's the really interesting one, my money or God's money? Because we all say, my money. Okay, so if that's the case, my heart goes where I put my money. Okay, mentally, have a look at your bank account. Have a look at your credit card statement. That tells you where your treasure is. Interesting. I'm just trying to get you to think. I'm not trying to tell people they're wrong or right. I'm trying to get you to think about what has Jesus got to say to me about my money, wealth and possessions. (Clears throat) Here's my really radical statement for the morning, okay? So I'll say it and then duck, okay? If God doesn't have my wallet, he doesn't have my heart. There are many historical versions of people having to have two conversions, one in here and one in here, or in your bag if you're a woman. But I honestly believe that it's true. Because money holds such a powerful sway over us that if we can get over that one, there's virtually nothing we can't do. Because, in my opinion, and certainly in today's society, the way that we live, the way our culture is set up, it is one of the most powerful of forms of anything out there. Just finish with a couple of other small thoughts. I read this morning. Answer it for yourself. Do you have a nagging feeling deep down inside that when Jesus called you to follow him, he had more in mind than you are currently experiencing? I do. I'm sure that there's more to it than this. And part of that is about my journey of generosity with him. Why? Because think about these things. If you give, you've got to have some faith. If you give, you've got to have some trust. If you give, you've got to have some grace. You've got to have some commitment. You've got to trust in God's provision. If I give it, will it come back? Can I really trust God that he will do what he says? So all of a sudden, we've touched all these other things that have nothing to do with money, but somehow are connected. And all I've asked you to do is open your wallet up and put some money in the offering. Oh dear. It's one of those really, really unusual things. Somewhere, and I'll leave you to decide the where and the how, somewhere, giving, because of what it says about our attitude to God, is the supreme act of worship. Because it says, it's not about me. It's all about somebody else. And actually, I believe that I can trust God to provide for me if I give it away. Now, there are many ways of giving away, and we aren't necessarily talking about money. For some people, it's time. For some people, it's things. But it's about being generous. This whole thing is about being generous. You can be really generous with your money, but if your button happens to be time, nobody's ever going to see you. If your button happens to be your home, nobody's allowed to step in my home because they might mess it up. What's that saying? Do you know the sort of thing I'm trying to say? How is it that with the situation that we live in, each one of us individually, what is God saying to us about being generous? In its widest form. And then let's act on it. I have to congratulate you all. Because I can see in virtually everybody's eyes that there is some reception to what I have said. I have been in situations like this before where you look out and all you can see are people's heads because they're all looking at the ground. This is one of the most difficult subjects. There are two things you can never tell anybody, and particularly not Christians. You can't tell them how to bring their kids up, and you can't tell them what to do with their money. So, standing up here, I am sort of asking to be shot at. But it is my view that unless we are able to have these discussions, these conversations, get these subjects up, they're so important in our Christian walk that you end up sort of carrying this baggage behind you of all the stuff you can't talk about. And we end up with very little in the way of life application. How does it affect me in my day to day? How does it affect how I react to my partner and all the and those types of things? I honestly believe, and I can tell you from personal experience, that as I have been on this journey of generosity, it has been utterly liberating. because I don't have to worry anymore. Because I know my God will provide. And you know what? Sometimes it's after midnight. I kept her in this thing that said, God will always turn up for you, don't worry. It might be 11:59 when you need it at 12 o'clock, but it'll always turn up. Do you know what? It doesn't always happen that way. It doesn't. It really doesn't. But I would not give up the life and what I have learned in my relationship with Jesus through my journey of generosity for anything. Because the payback to me has been unbelievable. And it has not been all financial. The payback to me in freedom in other areas of my life has been huge. So all I've tried to do this morning is open up for you this subject really, really briefly. And if 15% of what Jesus said talked about money, I've picked up three scriptures. There's lots more out there. There's a whole thing that I could go through with you, maybe on another occasion, about some really key principles that I read about from a guy called Randy Alcorn that he calls the treasure principles. It's about going after the treasure, both within you and that God's got for you. And do you know what? Some of it is really, really interesting. And some of it is very, very challenging. And you go, oh dear, what am I going to do now? Because actually, there's all these scriptures that we read that says things that we don't like. Or that is that one step beyond in terms of challenging us and what we're going to do. Let's be big enough to pick them up and go and have a look at them. So I'm going to leave some notes for you, if you're in small groups, some small group leaders. So if you want to talk about this stuff during the week and then stone me later, you can. but hopefully that will just give you, that will give you a couple of questions to go away with. And sitting around your Sunday lunchtime table, think of what wonderful discussions you could have today.